the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, God of the universe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory today. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. You are so good to us, Lord. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm equipping you for a new season, says the Spirit of Grace. I'm equipping you for a new season in which you shall run the race. You will see that eyes that see more clearly. You will move on those, and I will trust you with those that I hold dearly. And they shall come in and see and eat and drink, and lives will be changed in every way, especially in what they think. And we will see together my glory manifest in this place as you come in, as you run this race. So know today that I'm equipping you for new. I'm equipping you for progress. I'm equipping you. Be ready and responsive, and take this seriously, because I have a plan, and you will see the enemy defeated very shortly because of this plan. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Church, cancer is no different than the common cold to God. It's no different. He can easily flick that out as anything else. Amen? There's no difference. Being in debt $1 million is no different than being in debt $10. God can take care of it. He can take care of it. And he wants to. The healing of your body. The scripture says in Exodus, God said, I am your healer. And then he said, he sent forth his word and he healed you. An interesting thing about the word is the word creates. And so when the word goes into you, it's, and you mix that with faith, there's something that has, there's a catalytic reaction and your body receives healing. You have to get that reaction. So you have to have faith meet word. And so today, instead of praying for you right now, I'm going to pray for you after I preach the word to you, because you're going to mix faith with the word, and whatever it is, you're going to run it out of your body or whoever you're believing for. Amen. So you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. It was so good. Thank you, Jesus. So I guess you've noticed there are people that are not here. They're at another church. Can you believe that? They're at Eagle Mountain. except for Patty and Hector, they're in the Caribbean. those that are going to college are up at Fort Worth, and they're being blessed up there, and that's all the front row. But wow, we're so glad they get to go to the mother church. Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise God. I don't know if I told you all the facts, so I brought this to tell you. Remember when we gave 100 shoeboxes to Guatemala? Yeah. Okay, so the final thing that came out of that is that they were able to bless 9,069 babies, children, and youth with shoebox full of items, toys, and clothing. Isn't that good? 4,521 of them prayed the prayer of salvation. So you did that, and now you're building a church somewhere. I haven't heard where it is yet, but you're doing that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're also protecting Israel, which, by the way, I know you've probably heard that Iran attacked Israel, and Israel shot down 99%. And so praise the Lord. God is good. He'll continue to be good, and we'll be watchmen on the wall and continue to pray. We got online with Eagle Mountain last night and prayed with Miss Iva. Woo, that girl could pray. She could pray the wallpaper off the wall, I believe. She's just so good. Praise God. Are we online yet? Okay, well, let's go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 3 John 1:2. Our offering and our word that we're doing from now till July 31st is all going to be based on building your faith and more capacity, growing in your faith, knowing what to do. And isn't that interesting? Because the word of the Lord just came and agreed with that. Praise God. And so we know we're on the right track. So even the offering word, I'm going to teach you some things, and I believe it's going to help you. Amen. Beloved, this is 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, last week we read the scripture that said that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So I hope you're aware. If you're not, go ahead and catch up. You can go catch up on these things. But like I said, I'm laying out this clear path. And right now what we're doing in the offering word is we're getting an understanding of tithing, giving, and sowing. So the main principle that you follow concerning this subject would be what Jesus taught, right? Which is what? Seed time and harvest. Amen. So Jesus taught seed time and harvest. Of course, it appears in Genesis first. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Now, we understand that it means physically, and it also means spiritually. Now, so the main principle in seed time and harvest is that you don't get a harvest if you don't sow a seed. Amen. Real simple. And so you can confess all day long, do what you want to do, but if you didn't sow the seed, which of course, one of the ways to sow a seed is your confession. Amen. The sower sowed the word, but also sowing financially, sowing with good works, sowing a hug, whatever it is, will bring a harvest. Amen. So we made this statement that heaven's clothing is never woven with the cursed patches of poverty. So there are reasons to prosper. And a lot of times we don't think about some of the reasons, but one of them is to take care of your household. You prosper so you can put shoes on your kids' feet and on, and just the shoes are up there. Praise the Lord. But everything they need, your household should be blessed. And then the other thing is to advance the kingdom of God, to give to the house of God so that the house can, you take care of God's house so it can keep going. And so we advance the kingdom. That's another one. So house of God, your house, kingdom of God. And okay, here's another reason to prosper. You probably don't like this one so much, but you ought to. You drove on a nice road over here to pay your taxes. You pay your taxes. You have to prosper to pay your taxes. We saw Jesus prosper, Peter and himself to go pay his taxes. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? So he believed in paying taxes. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's another thing you do. And then there's this. We are called to help the poor. That's what we do. And so tithing and giving are not the same. Okay? They're not the same. 1/10, 10 cents on the dollar, the Bible says, goes to God. It's already his. And so he wants it first. Now, he doesn't want it first because he's trying to be a demando. He wants to spend it back on you. And so, but without that 10%, things don't flow. And so he says, tithe the tithe, not give, not so. I almost made a mistake saying both of those, which is good because then it just proves the point. You tithe the tithe into the place where you're getting meat. That's not where you say, okay, here's my tithe. And Danny's our administrator. I want her to send this much to here and this much to here. You don't do that with the tithe. The tithe comes into the, are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
The tithe comes into the house. You don't designate that.
Right.
Now, if you've done that, we went ahead and sent it because legally we would do that.
Yeah.
But spiritually, when you tithe the tithe, it's for meat in the house. Sometimes around here we've gone like this because we've put out so much, but God always makes it up. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And so, cause we do like to do some giving. Now, so he gets it first. And so that you give that where you're fed, and that's not an option. And then your prosperity starts rolling when you do that. It's kind of like you bought the field and now you can plant the plants. Or let's say you bought the franchise and now you need to make your investments. Tithing is the franchise part. Okay. So, are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
Amen. I just see some of you really on your phones and I'm just wondering if you're really listening to me or you're texting people. So whatever. So, yeah, I like, God, Pastor, God, you. I mean, if you want to text on your phone, go sit out in the car.
Amen.
No need in being in here.
Amen.
All right. Now, so this is your insurance policy. Now I know some of you are taking notes on your phone.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. So, then they're sowing and reaping. And then of course you want to, now listen to me because you got to get this. God is so cool.
Yeah.
He's so full of integrity. Watch how this works. We were just rejoicing over this. This is so cool. So you sow into good ground, do we?
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. Now, I want to show you this today. This is Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given. So we're called to take care of the poor, right? Okay. But you need to get this right. Giving to the poor or meeting someone's need who's actually falling short, giving to the poor. But look at, see this verse, you have to see it has a different message in it than just giving. Okay. So you have giving as in sowing the seed, but then you have giving to the poor. They have a different message. Are you with me? They have a different message. Okay. So what is the different message? Well, we can see that seed that's sown in the ground goes into something good and it multiplies.
Right.
But then we see the giving that goes into the poor. And it says you lend to the Lord. Luke 6:38 says that men will give back to you when you give.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. But when you give to the poor, you're not sowing seed that God can multiply into a larger harvest. When you give to the poor, it doesn't multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all are frowning at me, but listen, you'll get it when I tell you this. When you give to the poor, you're not sowing seed that God can multiply into a larger harvest. Why? Because the poor have nothing to give back. They're not in a cycle. They're not working in a cycle. So you don't sow seed into the ground that cannot produce. Now, wait a minute. Don't get upset about that. Just follow me. But you're not sowing the seed. This is a technical thing in your heart, not about people, okay? This is about, so... you don't sow the seed that can't produce. Therefore, God is going to pay you back the money that you give to the poor. He's not going to multiply it.
Yeah.
He's going to pay it back to you. Listen, then you're able, when you get paid back, if I gave Jesse a dollar, if I loaned Jesse a dollar and she gave it back to me, then I could sow it to Gabe or whatnot. Jesse ain't poor, but you know what I mean. You could trade. So now God pays you back. Now you can sow into something that multiplies. Now, wait a minute. Don't get all freaked out or anything here. Look at the integrity of God in this. Look at his integrity. He would not even have you sow into something that won't produce. So he says, go ahead and help the poor.
Yeah.
You go ahead and help the poor. I'm going to pay you back, and then you can make some investments.
That's so
good. Isn't that great?
The
get the heart of God in that.
So
give to the poor. Yes, we want to. Right now, we're bringing our cleaning supplies for people that can't afford it. Danny made a call for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to see this how it is so that you'll know how to use your faith. When you give to Highland Lakes Crisis Network, so we're giving to people who can't afford stuff, and so God's going to repay us for that, right? Okay? When you give to some of these places that we give to people, or you know you've given to people who need it, and we have, well, we brought in groceries, we've paid people's way, we've bought gas, we've done all those things, we paid people's rent and all that. Well, we're not sowing into good ground on that. We're sowing into someone who is lacking because we're having to pay their water bill or whatever. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
This is important. So they're not good ground.
No.
Pastor, how can you say that? Yet. They can become good ground. Yeah. But Living Water Christian Center is good ground. They're building churches.
Right.
Victory Church is sending out funds. They're good ground.
Yeah.
Brother Copeland's whole dynasty there, they send out money everywhere. They do everything. They're just a giving place. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, they're good ground. And so, you know, good ground. I want you to distinguish good ground from giving to the poor. Don't stop doing either one. Don't go, well, I'm not giving to the poor. I don't give harvest. No, give to the poor because God told you to.
Amen.
But you're lending to him, and he so has so much integrity, he's not going to not repay you for that. Understand the principle. Jesus said, the poor will be with you always. What does that mean? There's always going to be someone that needs to come up. They can come up and out. They're not always going to be on the dole unless they want to. Yeah. You see that. Isn't this good? It's so wonderful to see how neat God is, that he has so much integrity that he shows you exactly what's going on. So I tell you, I never sow into a dead end. I never sow into poverty. I don't want a harvest of poverty. I give to the poor. I will be generous to the poor.
Yeah.
I will feed the poor. I will give to missions, and I will give to the poor.
Yeah.
But I sow into good ground that multiplies.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
So should we give to the poor?
Yeah.
Absolutely we do. But keep it straight in your thinking, because you are supposed to be expecting a harvest.
That's so good.
But I hear people quoting the wrong scripture over the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And thinking the wrong thing about this and that. Pastor, you're harping on this a little long.
It's good.
I want you to have success.
Yeah.
I want you to have success. So listen, just stop throwing money in.
Yeah.
Some people go, well, you know, I don't really know what my tithe is, so I'll just, you know, I make $1,000 a week. I'll just throw in $200 a week. Well, you know, that's wonderful, but what you're actually doing there is you're tithing and sowing.
Yeah.
So if you would take mental notice of that and heart notice of that, you get a better response from God, because you're actually saying, I'm honoring you and I'm sowing. It's a heart matter. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't want to just be throwing stuff. So you start realizing, you start getting these vivid pictures of participating, because God cares about this stuff. Yeah, and you don't have to be all religious about it, but you do need to care enough to be accurate with your faith. And that's where I'm going with this, trying to work with your faith. Church, obedience is involved in our faith walk. And so we learn these things and we use these things. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now. And we thank you so much that you want to be involved in our prosperity.
Yeah.
And we want to be involved with you as well. We thank you. So we place, we're very determined to place our treasure as you have appointed it to be. We thank you, Lord. We know that our destiny in life is completely determined by where we place our treasure. So we know a bountiful future awaits those who continue to sow their seed to create their future. And we just received that today. And we know the blessing is working with the tithe. And we know that our harvest is growing up in the fields from the seeds. So, Father, we are happy to give to the poor, and we thank you for being the kind of God that will not even let us put finances into something that will not multiply. So you pay us back, and we're grateful for that. You are so generous, and you cannot even, we just can't even fathom, because you can't even fathom us having any loss. No loss, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to give online, you can get, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You spell million, M-I-L. Oh, you know how to spell it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You're like, oh, you just trying to get money? No, I'm trying to get people.
Yeah.
Trying to get something that'll help people. And I'm trying to get funds to you. So that you can keep covenant with God, push out darkness, help other people,
yeah.
Help your kids get to where they're going,
mm-hmm.
Have a good life. Amen.
Yes.
Be
Amen.
Peaceful. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
God is good.
So good.
All right. Everybody good?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Romans 12:1. Gonna increase our faith right now. We're going to increase our faith. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1. Now, someone was asking, they're like, I want to know what Bible you read out of. Well, I actually have like probably 100 Bibles. But the one I bring to church is just a King James Version. And it is the Kenneth Copeland Bible because it has all of his notes in the front. And he was my father in the Lord. And I've preached everything in the front of this book. But the notes that I'm using, I'm pulling from my computer Bible. So you may hear New King James, the Passion Translation, God's Word. There's so many that I pull from. And I try to tell you, but sometimes I don't. So please forgive me. This is coming straight out, okay, of the King James, I believe. All right, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's reasonable to bring your body to church.
Yeah.
It's reasonable. Okay. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're at a time, like we said, of strengthening our faith. We want to strengthen our faith. We know that there are some good things coming, and we want to be involved in them, so we want to have strong faith. We're building capacity. Faith is about trust. It's about believing and confessing. It's about being consistent. You have to go back and listen to the last few weeks if you want to catch up with us, and they're out there posted online. So we started talking this last Wednesday night. We've been talking a lot about confession, but last Wednesday night we started adding imagination. We started talking about imagination. And so God said that the people at Babel, he made a comment about them. He said that they were able to do whatever they imagined. They could just do whatever they imagined. Now, they were not doing good, but that doesn't mean imagination isn't good. They were just imagining on the dark side. They were imagining on the humanistic side.
Yeah.
They said, we're never going to be caught under the water again. We're going to build something tall, right? We're just never going to get that tall, right? But they just wasn't making sense to them. They were going to build something high to the heavens. So, but the imagination had power in it. So I want to talk to you about the power of imagination. And here's a few points for you that I really want you to think about. People assume that information brings transformation. That's why I picked that scripture, because we're to be transformed. We're not to be conformed by religion, but we're to be transformed, and we're to be, information will not transform you. It does not. It's one thing to know that the Holy Spirit frees us from our flesh, but it's quite a different thing to know how he does it and how he does it in our lives. And we can actually position ourselves to experience this. Mm-hmm. See, Christians mistakenly assume that information automatically translates into transformation. That's a problem. They immediately think that. So we tend to have this thinking that if we just read another book, if we just go to another Bible study, another group, that we're going to be changed. And that's not the case at all. That's not actually what's going on. And I think we can look around at Christianity and see that that isn't the case. You know, when you got saved, God gave you everything with Jesus. But obviously not every Christian is experiencing everything that is good. Right. It's available, like the song said. Mm-hmm. Goodness is running after us. Mm-hmm. You just got to turn around and let it catch you, huh? But the truth is not everyone experiences it. So we can't just say, well, we got saved and by grace. And so now there's nothing to do. We're waiting on God. That is not Bible. Amen. So, we try to apply information and think it'll transform us. And church, shooting at behaviors to motivate change is neither biblical or effective. You can't just get some information and think it's going to change you. So what's the problem? Well, there's several factors involved, but as odd as it sounds, the biggest problem with Western Christians is they have forgotten how to use their imagination with spiritual matters. They don't know how to use it. And there's some good reason for that. One is that they equate imagination with fantasy and make-believe. But that's not all imagination is, but that's what they think. So they mistrust it, and then they'll mistrust it in spiritual matters. So we have to come to identify imagination as something that takes us, we have come to identify that imagination is something that takes us away from truth. You see that? But it doesn't have to.
Right.
You know, we think imagination is the castle with the mouse, that's how we go and we play, and it's imagination, and imagination is so much fun. But there's imagination that works with reality, that can bring reality. So you may not turn into a mouse and live in a castle, but you could have a castle with a mouse. Because Walt Disney did.
Yeah.
Amen. You see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
You need to flip this thing around. Imagination is good.
Yeah.
How central is imagination to all of our thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, listen. We don't think with abstract information. We think by, this is going to be some words here, imaginatively replicating reality in our minds.
Yeah.
We replicate, when in our imagination, we replicate reality. Are you walking with me?
Yeah.
Stay with me because you're going to get something good here. So imagination is simply the mind's ability to evoke images of things that aren't physically present.
Yeah.
Okay? Revelation brings transformation. The Holy Spirit working through your imagination brings transformation. That's when you know you're healed. It's when all the symptoms are not gotten down in your heart, but the truth got down in your heart. And so you see yourself stepping, moving, flowing, living. When your imagination, you may have had symptoms and they're facts, but your imagination, see, if you see yourself sick and miserable and you took to the bed, well, then that's where you're going to go. But if you see yourself well, so you need your imagination for that. The Word of God coming off the page from the, I'm getting ahead of my subject here, but we'll just go with it. Coming off the page with the stories, the shadows, the types, the promises, they all should give us a concrete, vivid image.
Right.
I'm way ahead of myself, but we'll move that way. So it's all about seeing, and it's all about seeing in your imagination. So, when I think about Annie, my poodle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody went, oh, I don't mentally recite information about her.
Yeah.
Okay. I imaginatively, listen, represent her or represent her. Come on. See your imagination working there? I represent her in my mind. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Now, so that means to make present again.
Oh,
I know y'all got that.
That's good.
But I just had to put that out there. It means to make represent, to make present again. That's what this imagination is doing. So when I have a thought about Annie, I make her present to myself in my mind. Now, this requires my image-making capacity, my imagination. Okay, now get this. The representations are the representations that constitute our thoughts, affect us to the extent that they are concrete and vivid. See that? They're concrete. They're vivid. All right. Are you okay so far?
Yes.
All right. So they represent or represent, I know I'm being redundant, I'm doing it on purpose, our actual experience of what we're thinking. So if I see her in my imagination doing something cute, then emotions rise up.
Yeah.
She went to the vet last week, one day, Thursday. And I love Dr. DeFilly. And Dr. DeFilly came in there and said, man, Annie is chill. She just lets us do whatever. So I had an imagination right there. I could see, because I know Annie, I could see what she looked like when she was chill.
Yeah.
And I mean, she can be a wild child, but when she's chilled, she chill. Okay, but I had the actual picture of that. So, but if I just give you information like this, Annie will be 6 in June. She lives out with me in Smithwick. Now, you could think of a 6-year-old dog, but you don't know what my dog looks like unless you know her.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have a representation. If you know where Smithwick is, you probably went, oh, yeah, out there where the cemetery is on the way to Lago Vista. Yeah, it's somewhere out there. Okay. That's all you got. You don't know where I live. You don't have a picture of that unless you've been there and seen Annie. You don't have a vivid, concrete picture. Okay. So I can give you information without giving you my representation of you.
Yeah. Oh.
I can give you information, but you don't have anything. Annie is 26 pounds. She has curly, reddish, apricot hair. She has a long snout and long, pretty ears. Am I right?
Yeah.
But Gabe knows Annie. Right? Annie likes to lick John in the face. And she likes to jump on Danny's back and mess with her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting more of a picture. How many of you have seen Annie? Most of you. So you already had a picture. But if you hadn't seen Annie, you don't have a picture unless I create it. Close your eyes. Dog. Big, black, curly dog with a big red tongue.
Yeah.
Got an imagination? Or did you see the words? Did you see the words or did you see the dog? That's not Annie. She's little, red. But see, it helped you could see it. So this is what we need to see. The crucial difference between information and representation is that information is abstract. It's intangible. But our imagination representations are concrete. Are you walking with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, this is why memories get to be so influential in a person's life, because memories are concrete. They're vivid. You have those memories. You see pictures. So they are what we would call vivid representations of past events. And people experience some horrible thing in their life, then they may experience that over and over as it enters their mind repeatedly. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they get a vivid memory and it shapes their lives. The memory or this representation has an encoded message in it. However, the event, however that event made them feel, let's say it like that, like maybe worthless or afraid or something or miserable or maybe a good event.
Yeah.
Whichever way it goes, okay, they're going to come back with that memory every time, and they're going to experience something we call triggers.
Yeah.
It triggers your memory, and you get a picture.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, I lived personally with triggers from the time I entered elementary school and lived with them for years, that there was something that I experienced at elementary school with children that I went to school with. And so at the smell of food in rest homes, subconsciously made me sick. It was real interesting because the smell of food with the children I went to school with, and I didn't even realize it. And we'd go into a rest home perfectly normal, and in a little while I'm sick and I don't know why. It's triggering a memory of feeling sick when I watched these certain children eat, blind children. They were eating and I was little, didn't get it, and they didn't look very good, and it just made me feel sick. And so this thing bothered me for a long time, and they would call. I'd cry and throw up, and they would call my sister to come sit with me, and then I'd get better. So it was a trigger. And so up until my life in the ministry, it's not there anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But I didn't realize it. I used to be a painter. Y'all probably didn't know that about me. I actually painted houses, and I was painting three stories up inside a building. I was on a scaffold three stories up, and I was up there, and I was painting, and the guy who owned the house said, "I need you to get down." And I said, "Okay." And I crawled down, and he said, "You need to go look in the mirror." Bright red, broken out. I didn't know that I had a fear of heights. Now, I overcame it.
Praise God.
I overcame that. I don't have a fear of heights anymore. I had a fear of edges. I still don't like to just get right up on that. I'll leave that to Danny, and she likes edges a lot. But these phobias, these triggers come for a reason. Anybody get seasick? You get seasick. Now they tell you, look at the horizon. So I was in between Cancun and Cozumel riding on a ferry, and I was watching Bugs Bunny in Spanish inside. And all of a sudden, no, you don't do that. And so I'm getting green and everything. And I thought, this is a phobia. And so, the Lord taught me how to overcome it, and I overcame it because I will have no fear.
Amen.
Not going to have fear. Not from a spider, not from a snake, not from anything. I'm not going to allow it.
Amen.
And so I got over it. And so the next time, I think I was out on the boat, we were in Hawaii, and we were watching a whale and its baby. We were out in this boat, and I mean the waves are going. We're watching this whale and her baby, and it's all beautiful. And me and Deb and the captain are having such a good time. And Deb says, "What's everybody doing looking over the back of the boat?" The captain said, "Ma'am, you don't want to go back there."
Let's go to the front.
So he takes us to the front. We're having fun. Well, everybody in the back of the boat couldn't handle the waves, and they're feeding the fish. Anyway, so now don't sit up here and go, God, Pastor, you've been through a lot of phobias yourself. You know, you've been through some too. There's things you have to get over. Brother Copeland will tell you he had a fear of bridges. He had to get over crossing bridges. He couldn't stand to get out on one. But he overcame it because of God. See,
yeah.
But see, there was probably some trigger somewhere. Now, the lady that was afraid of bugs. There's a lady that was afraid, very intelligent woman. Just smart, beautiful, everything in place, but she's afraid of bugs. And if one bug gets on her, she goes nuts. Well, come to find out, when she was little, her brothers put bugs down her shirt. And in her image, the bugs were just going to eat her up until she was gone. And so every time a bug gets on her, it triggers that memory. Some people, your big brother locked you in a closet when you were little. And you don't want to go in the dark closet by yourself. You'll reach around and flip on the light before you go in. That's a trigger. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Some of them are subconscious. Sometimes it just comes out and you go, oh, I remember, I don't like that. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
What's the point? Well, the point is I'm going with that side of it first, but the point is it's concrete.
Right.
You have a memory of that. That plays out in your head. Now, you remember when that person you loved finally said yes? Or you said yes to that person? I'm looking at all the ladies. It usually goes that way. Or you met that person and you looked into their eyes and you still have that vivid imagination of how wonderful it was. Look at that. The ladies are going, yeah. See, you have a vivid imagination of how wonderful that was. Just so beautiful. Amen. See, concrete.
Yeah.
It's in there. You remember when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost? Wow.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You remember when somebody finally told you that God was good?
Yeah.
I have a vivid imagination. I was standing in front of the TV going, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I know exactly where I was sitting in the restaurant when I saw my name circled in red in the book that said I was going to be a senior pastor. I remember it so well. Amen. I was eating steak with John Holler in a restaurant. I'll never forget that. There's things you just don't forget. Amen. There's things that happen in your life that are just so awesome. Are you getting some pictures now? Are you thinking, what was it with me? Let's see. Praise the Lord. I have a vivid imagination of some of the national parks I've traveled to. They left such a grain in me. Okay, I better get back to what we're talking about. Okay, so these events happened, and then, you know, you have this imagination. Now, you can get over all the phobias. Keep the good stuff. So despite all the information that you could encounter, you don't get over those things by more information coming in. You're going to get transformed away from the negative stuff by pictures, by concrete, vivid pictures, by the Word becoming flesh, by the Word getting in you, and you see it as a picture. Okay? Let's walk just a little further on this, and then we'll close it up with a couple of things. So, people who are optimistic, how many of you would say you're optimistic? Be honest. Okay. Now, you tend to imagine your future in a concrete, vivid, positive way. Yeah? It's going to be good. Tomorrow's going to be good. Yes. This is going to work out. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the worrier tends to imagine the future with the same vividness as optimistic people, but their future is negative. I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to do when I get there? I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it. And the worrier then begins to meditate on that, and they build that future. I got quiet in here. You're like, well, what if I am that person? Well, what if you stop being that person? Because That's what we're telling you. We can build a concrete, vivid success picture in you. We can build a concrete, vivid love picture in you. We can build a concrete, vivid, self-image in you. Because you belong to God. You are God's. You are in Christ. You are worth something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We can get rid of you feeling sorry for yourself. We can get rid of you worrying. We can get rid of you having more month than money.
Come on.
Yeah. We can get rid of you thinking that whatever you do crashes. We can get rid of you thinking nobody loves me, they don't love me. All of that can leave you.
Amen.
We just have to change your pictures.
Yeah.
Remember, and those of you who are younger, we'll get this explained to you. There used to be something called a Polaroid camera.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember Polaroid cameras?
Mm-hmm.
All the old people raising their hands, except for Chris. He knows what it is. His mamaw had one probably. Okay, so. So you take, I mean, they could get fancy too. They weren't just that little one. Remember the fancy ones where your lens went out like this? My father-in-law had one of those. He loved that thing. Anyway, so, but you take a picture and it's going to create an image. But if you took the picture and you looked at it, this is all white.
Yeah.
You just throw it away. There's nothing on that picture.
Yeah.
You didn't wait until the image developed.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
So you gotta wait till the,
Amen.
You gotta wait till the image develops.
Yeah, yeah.
I submit to you, we are developing your image from now to July. We're developing your image. Don't miss. Come. Get your image developed. Okay? And you will till, you'll be developing an image from now on as long as you're in the Word. So, the power of images is something that we have to get a hold of here. And it's not only is it your experiences, but it could also be something you viewed. Okay, thank you for coming along with me there. Modern advertisers. Most commercials give you very little information about their product. What they do is they present vivid images, which target the audience that can be attracted to it. If you drink this kind of beer with the man, the Latin man with the accent, you will become sexy. Now, that's stupid.
Yeah, it is.
But they're attracting someone.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Yeah.
They're attracting someone.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's all about the image. I mean, you know, they attract with lizards.
Yeah.
There's a lizard that we love.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that? Someone said the name of the place.
Yeah.
And then there's Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Flo. See?
Yeah.
We all know them, don't we? Jake the State Farm, flows at where? Progressive. And the lizards at Geico.
Yeah.
That's insurance. All four
insurance. That's interesting.
All three insurance.
Yeah.
But so which one do you like best, see?
Yeah.
Deb loves Jake. I love the lizard. but that's not why we bought it there. But that's the image that people get. I mean, they're selling you something by image.
Yeah.
It's real big. Don't get mad at me, but it's real big with pharmaceuticals. While they're reading the side effects, the lady's hair's blowing in the wind.
Yeah, really.
Or the chubby lady's dancing and doing all this stuff. And, you know, and you're like, see? Fat people can move too, you know, and you're thinking, I'll take that. But that's not a good thing. But they're selling an image to you. But the image you need is Christ. The image you need is the Word. The image you need is faith on the inside of you, believing that God's promises are true, that His covenant will stand, and that He will do what He said He will do. That's what we need. So we don't want the triggers of the commercials. We want the triggers of God. So if you get a symptom, what's your trigger? Oh, no. Here I go again. Then you know you need some work. Yeah. But if the trigger is, no. Mm-hmm. And you see yourself rising up out of that, then you've got some good, concrete, vivid images on the inside. Mm-hmm. The good news is you can put them in there.
True.
You can kick out lack like that.
Yeah.
But see, I know you talk about that we don't have to be in lack, but I just wouldn't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. Get in the Word. Yeah, but don't I need a job? Your job is to get in the Word. Get in the Word first. Now, don't go quit your job and lay on the couch. But get in the Word first, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to some prosperity. Well, I know you've been telling me that for years, and it just hadn't worked for me. Well, then there you go. Because it worked for the other 95%. So why isn't it working? Because of your images. So our imagination has to be our great ally, church. Has to be our great ally. And so we need these concrete, good, actual physical experiences. We have to experience these things. You have to experience the love of God. Get an image of that. That's why I love whoever wrote the goodness of God. What an image that puts in there. Now see, if you just take that as information, you just saying, your goodness is running after me. And you're like, hurry up, Jesse. We got to go to lunch, you know. But if you got an image of goodness, surely goodness and mercy is after me. And you thought about the fact that He's reaching out to you with His hand, with His words, and you got that real picture, then you got into worshiping God.
Yeah.
Worshippers have good, concrete, vivid images while they're worshiping. Picture what the Word's saying. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
What's that saying? It's a scripture. So I have breath. So get busy, girl. You have breath. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want to praise the Lord. Choose to praise the Lord. Do it. People that are worshipers and they have good images can actually really worship, and you'll see them worship. People that are prayers, you know how you see sometimes it would be everybody, and they're all praying, and then you'll see a couple people going, no image. They don't have any image. They haven't bothered to build an image. They're just looking around waiting. They'll be finished in a minute. I'm just checking the box right here. They told me I had to come. I'm just checking the box. You're going to have to stop checking the box and build your capacity. You're going to have to listen to what's being said. If you want to be a success, if you want to have faith, if you want to represent God well, just going to church won't do it. Staying away from church really won't do it. Because the more you miss church, the more you won't miss church. And so, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get your butt back in church. Okay, now, I realize that some of you, we are your church till you find a church, but sooner or later you're going to find a church or make one. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. All right, now, so let's finish. Church, the reason that we're on this subject is so that you can get a concrete, vivid picture that you're a son of God. You're not an orphan. You're like, well, we were adopted. Well, in the Jewish community, if you're adopted, you have more privileges than the blood kids. You cannot be turned out. You get the inheritance. You get it. If you're adopted, you're in it. They don't treat different. They don't say, well, they're our blood, so they get to do this, and they don't. That doesn't exist.
Nope.
You've become God's blood. The blood of Jesus is running through you right now. It's running through your spirit. So you're a son or a daughter of God, and you need to get that image. And so when I look at the young folks in here, I know your parents, you have good parents. But if you didn't have a good parent, that shouldn't be your concrete, vivid image. The image you should have is Father God, Papa. He needs to be your image.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of us had really good daddies. Some of us didn't. Some of us had really good papas. Some of us didn't. But you have a papa.
Yeah.
You have a daddy.
That's
and
awesome.
He won't turn you out. He won't turn you away. He'll take care of you. He'll do everything you need to do. If you're a widow, if you don't have a husband, he'll be your husband.
Amen.
If you're a widower, he'll make up the difference and help your life be happy. He'll take care. He has a way to do everything he needs to do.
Amen.
You got to get that image.
Yeah.
And listen. You need to get an image that you're going to win.
Yes.
You got to win.
Amen.
I preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, we're getting rid of imagination representations that do not correspond with the truth. If I try that, I'll fail. Get that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, okay, but how? I've been trying. No, that's not how. Your thought will not run that out. Information will not run that out. This preached to you and you repeating it will run it out. It will change everything. We'll change your image by you receiving what's being said in the Word and then you agreeing with it. And that's what faith is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I am somebody. Well, I can't, you know, I'm not as pretty as Jesse, so I don't know. I can't, you know, nobody will receive me. You better get over that because you're pretty to somebody. You're pretty to Father. God loves you. Amen. You're worth it. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done in my past. Well, we could flip through the pages of all of our past and find all about the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep. We could all find just about the same thing. Oh, well, I haven't done what some of these people have done. Then that's your problem right there.
Boom.
That came right off the Holy Ghost press. How about that? All right. So when our representations are vivid but do not correspond with truth, or when our representations correspond with truth, but they're not vivid, then we have difficulty being transformed into a holy, godly way. So we got to get this right.
Yeah.
And we're going to work on this right up through the summer until you're spitting nails saying, yeah, this is who I am. No, I'm not backing down. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm here to stay. And I'm not going to take it. And I'm not going to take less. You don't have to be haughty and prideful about you being successful.
Nope.
You can humbly give the glory to God, but take every bit of the success you can get. Because the more influence you are, the more you can influence what goes on in the kingdom.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. The better it is. The better you look. Amen. Well, people don't really care how I look. It'll be all right. Whatever. Listen, we don't really care how you dress to come to church, but I'll tell you this, people do care. And, I mean, you can wear some nice blue jeans, and I love it. I think they're great, and I think we have that culture here. This is where we are. Or you could dress up in a suit, but I have a friend who did a test. And they went down, we lived in San Marcos, Texas, and it's a square, you know. And so this person put on a suit. She put on a dress suit and she went down and applied for jobs. Is that what she did? Yeah, she applied for jobs And she got all the applications. So she went home and changed. Was it a few days later? Mm-hmm. A few days later, she put on some hippie clothes and went, you know, with just some straps and shorts. Shorts, right?
It was on campus. And
okay.
Dressed two totally different ways. And
it was
totally
Deb.
Different people would respond and reject.
So the other clothes were rejected. Now, you can say what you want to, because I know we live in a world where people are tatted and everything, and we love all people. But there are people respond to different things.
Yeah. True.
And so, if you look good, smell good, sound good, have good, healthy,
yeah.
Not afraid, you're bold,
yeah.
And you can help somebody, and you're anointed,
yeah.
You're going to go a lot further. It's just the truth. And I'm not knocking people that live the other way. It's happened. Mm-hmm. But you can make blue jeans look really good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You can.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Brother Copeland calls the blue jeans with holes in them poverty pants.
Yeah.
Now, the girls all have poverty pants, but they know I don't want them on the stage.
Yeah.
But then that's fine. I know it's a style, but you're like, now you're getting over here into people's business. I was trying to tell you, you get an image of yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going to wear tennis shoes, look cool in them. You're going to wear blue jeans, look good in them.
Yeah.
Trim your beard. Look sharp, you know.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Ladies, if you can stand it, put on some makeup. You're like,
yeah.
Well, I don't like makeup. Well, we like for you
to. Right. You're ministering to others.
Ah, how am I going to get out of all this? Praise the Lord.
Glory. That's good.
When I was Irie's age, it didn't matter. We were all beautiful then. But her mother still is. So, and you are too, Viv. So, all ages here.
Amen.
What I'm really telling you that for is not so much for other people, but for you.
Yeah.
When you walk out, you're like, I feel good about myself. Yeah. See, we're creating an image. But most of that image is going to come from the Word.
Amen. Yeah.
99% of it. 99% of it, you get that image, you will comb your hair.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. There you go.
Am I right?
Very
yeah.
True.
Why? Because we came here to honor God. Look at Chris. He's back there combing his hair down. You look good.
Yeah.
Every time we leave church, we say, Chris is so cute. Okay. I'm closing. We're early even. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is love.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
But information will not significantly change the impact until we intimately grasp the love of God. How much He loves us. And that's going to be with you spending time with Him. Now, I promised you something, so I'm going to skip through my notes. And I'm just going to give you these because I promised you this and I want to be true to my word. When we left on Wednesday night, I told you that I said there's first creation and second creation. Remember that? So first creation is when you get something in your heart, you begin to get it in your mouth. Second creation is when it manifests. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but then it's going to be seen when it manifests. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a type of incubation that happens. It's a process. And this you can apply to your imagination. So here's the process. Number one, envision a clear-cut objective. What do you want? What is it? What color is it? What business is it? What level of spirituality? Whatever it is, from clothes to husband to your vision for your life to whatever it is. Get a picture of what you want, a clear-cut objective. Pastor Deb used to say, this is what I imagine. She used to say this all the time. I imagine myself sitting down at a desk and writing checks to give away to people. Guess what Pastor Deb does in the ministry? She sits down and writes the giveaway checks. That's her job. She sends out checks to all the ministries we give to. Every week she does that. She writes the paychecks. Danny gives her information. She writes the paychecks and she writes everybody we give away to. She imagined that. Deb and Jesse drove to school every week. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. Jesse goes to the university of every choice. Jesse goes to the university of every choice. Jesse has a full scholarship. Jesse has a full scholarship. Jesse went to the university of her choice with a full scholarship. Jesse stepped out of school and already had a job. They already wanted her at a company called MetLife. But today, Jesse is one of the vice presidents of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Okay. Now, I mean, she's up there. Plus, she does all this stuff in the community because she gets to be an influence. So, look, you don't even have to change the name. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. Roxanne finds favor in the sight of God and man. Write that down. That's your image maker for this week. Chris finds favor in the sight of God and man. Jana finds favor in the sight of God and man. Joy finds favor in the sight of God and man. Let that be your image maker, okay? All right, number two, that's number one, envision a clear-cut objective. There's only 55 of these. We'll get through them quick. Have a burning desire. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God called me to do. I'm going to do it. Have a burning desire. Number three, pray for assurance. Okay, Lord. Now, is this it? Number one, envision a clear-cut objective. Number two, have a burning desire. Number three, pray for assurance. Number four, the big one, speak the word. Speak the word. This will cause the imagination to get strong. Number one, envision a clear-cut objective. Number two, have a burning desire. Number three, pray for assurance. Number four, speak the word. Incubation then takes place. You want to y'all know what incubate is? It gets the baby big enough to get out. That's what you're doing. You're going to get that baby big enough to get about. No, I'm doing this. I'm going to go do this. I talked about going to Europe since I was 16. Just kind of played with it. Yeah, we'll go one day. We'll go one day. We've been all over the Caribbean, all over America. We've been to Mexico. We've been all these places. One of these days, we're going to go to Europe. And a year passed. In September, the Lord said to me, well, if you're going to go to Europe, you better go ahead and go. You know, we did the same thing with Israel. Going to Israel. But I waited so long to incubate that. But once I started incubating it, it happened. Going to Europe. Now I'm going to Europe again. In 67 days. Can you tell this is concrete vivid. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What are you going to do? What are you going to have? What's concrete? What's vivid? What are you going to do? What do you want to do? What's in your bank account? What's in your wallet? Don't go home. Don't go out without it. Don't go home. Don't go somewhere without it. Don't leave home without it. Right? Yeah, no, go somewhere. Okay. The reason why I've rolled real quick on that is I actually have that card in my wallet. I never leave home without it. And we were paying out somewhere the other day. Oh, we went to see Brian. And we bought something in his store and we were paying out. By the way, he said, they're really proud of you, Bubba. Yeah. They said, you're doing great. And so I went over there to check up on you. No, I just went to see Brian. The man says, y'all have the same credit card. I'm like, well, we like the same thing. So that's what threw me. But that was the image. There's an image there. And that, think about it. That's the concrete image. And I don't leave it at home. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? What are you not going to leave at home? What are you not just going to leave? Go, ah, oh, no, never mind. No, I'm not going to do that. What did God call you to do? Line up with it. Get the image. Start incubating it and get it. Well, you know, I'm 65 now, and so I don't know. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you're not ready to die, so you're still going to do something. Amen. So you create your desired reality in your mind, and then you can experience it in your world. What do you want? You're tired of suffering? Then create an image where you're not suffering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all creating an image that you want me to stop so we can go to lunch?
No.
Praise the Lord. God is good. You receive this today?
I do.
It's important. This is going to be important. Let me ask you a question. Where are you in the story with the woman of the issue of blood? Where are you in that story? So let's just walk into the story. Here we are. We're out on the street. There's a press behind right over there. We're all crowding in. There's Jesus. See him over there? See Jesus over there? Okay. You're seeing it? See Jesus? There's Jesus over there. And he's walking with a man named Jairus. He's one of the leaders of the synagogue. They're like, oh, Jairus must be in trouble because, those two usually don't go together. But yeah, they're walking together because we heard that his baby is about to die. And so he came to get the master to go and pray for his baby. Are you in the story? And now they're walking up that path. They're walking up that path. And here comes that lady crawling. Mm-hmm. Do you see her crawling? She's crawling. And she said, that what? And so what'd she do? Do you see her touching it? She reached up. What's she touching on that garment? The hem, his prayer shawl. She's touching that. Boom. Power. Power shoots through her. And then he says, who touched me? Now he's not like, who touched me? He's like, somebody pulled the anointing out of me just now. Are you there? Are you there? You see the picture? Somebody just pulled the anointing out of me. What'd she do? She told it. She testified. She told it. She told it. She said it. She told it, right? Okay. So here she goes. So she got it. She acted. Let's skip that one. She said it. She acted. She told it. She got it. You couldn't shake it out of her. She gets healed. What happens? She testifies. What does Jesus do then? Here they come running down the hill. Can you see them running? Hey, don't even have him come up here. She's gone. Remember that? What did Jesus say? She's only sleeping. No, fear not. Only believe. Running up the hill. Who did he kick out of the room? Huh? All the grieving, mourning, worrying, unbelieving. He kicked all that out. And then he raised her from the dead. Now, you could have seen yourself as that dead person getting raised. You could have seen yourself as Jairus. You could have seen yourself as the woman with the issue of blood. Or you could have seen yourself as the one who was walking through there with the anointing. I'm not going to say I'm God. You are a Christian, a little Christ. You're walking in crowds every day with the anointing of God on your life. Get an image. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Get an image. Get a concrete, vivid image. I'm walking in here and I'm anointed. Brother Bill Johnson said, stop and right before you walk into somewhere and just have an image. He actually says something like that. Just sense. This is who I am. This is like what you just did. You just straightened your coat like, I'm somebody. You know? I'm going in here. And then you walk in there and all the heads will turn. It's happened over and over. Or you'll go into an empty place and in a minute it'll fill up. You think that's coincidence? It's not a coincidence. You need to look at these things. You need to understand these things. You are important, church. Stop hiding. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is good.
All the time.
Praise the Lord. He is an ever-present help.
Always.
And he's willing to take us to the top. Are you glad we're working on our faith?
Yeah.
We're working on it. We're going to move forward. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going through Brother Hagin, Charles Capps, Brother Copeland, Mac Hatt. We're going to go through all the stuff they ever taught all of us, and we'll go through more. Amen. God has taught us good things. And most of all, we're going through the Word of God. And what they got was the Word. One of the things I want to remind you of is that you have to use your authority when you're talking to the enemy. You speak with authority in the name of Jesus, and you plead the blood when you need protection. You must get that and do it, but you need to feed yourself and get an image that it works. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.